Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Did you go to the movies over Labor Day weekend and happen to see a trailer that made you think your radio was on?
My first guest today is No Impact Man. Colin Bevin just walked up 24 flights of stairs to avoid consuming electricity in an elevator.
It's a one-year experiment.
Right.
And it's extreme. No soda cans. No water in plastic bottles.
Don't buy new products.
Canceling our magazine and newspaper subscriptions. No throwaway plastic razors. No airplanes. No subways. No taxis. No elevators.
Is it possible to have a good life without wasting so much?
Yes, that was the trailer from the new film that we will discuss along with the related new book. And yes, that was me with occasional Brian Lehrer Show guest Colin Bevin. He's come on the show before to talk about this year-long experiment in living eco-consciously. And now he's back with a new book about the experience. It's called No Impact Man, The Adventures of a Guilty Liberal Who Attempts to Save the Planet and the Discoveries He Makes About Himself and Our Way of Life in the Process. Also opening this week is a documentary about him and his family during the year of No Impact Man. So it's a big week for you, Colin.
It is a big week. Hi, Brian.
Is that a coincidence, or were you involved in the documentary about you as well as the book that you wrote?
Oh, well, what happened was in 2006, I was incredibly worried about global warming, and I thought, what could I do, and is there a way to write about it where I could attract attention? And we came up with the No Impact experiment. And so I started to write the book, and then Michelle's best friend, Laura Gabbert, who's one of the co-directors of the film, came along and said, we have to document you too. And I was like, no! But they talked me into it because, you know, film and book are very different medium, and there are two different, very different ways of telling the story, and they're not redundant. And so here we are.
So I presume you finished being finished with your No Impact Man year. You did take the elevator to get to the studio today. You didn't walk the steps.
I did take the elevator this time.
And we're only on the eighth floor now. Back when we were in the municipal building and that scene was shot, we were on the 24th floor.
That's right.
And I tell people this story all the time. I took the elevator down to the lobby and walked up with you,
yes,
as a courtesy, and we discovered that it only took us about 9 minutes to walk 24 flights. And people go, you walk 24 flights? Yeah, you walk about 30 seconds a flight of steps in a normal, you know, size ceiling building. And you know, hey, 9 minutes, no big deal.
Well, if I recall correctly, it took us longer to convince the security guard to let us in the stairwell than to walk up.
That's
but
right.
So that was one of the interesting things that people would go on about, the fact that we biked instead of getting around by other means or take the stairs. And really what was happening is that we were integrating exercise into our daily life. So it was good for us, actually.
And it's pretty clear that this experiment had a big impact on your family. You lost 20 pounds. Your wife reversed what she called a pre-diabetic condition. And you say that the two of you became better parents by turning off the television. So maybe the pitch should be, ask not what you can do for the environment, but what saving the environment can do for you.
I mean, I call it the happier planet, happier people principle, because it turns out, especially like think about the lifestyles of people like you and me, media professionals here in New York. We're running around, we're rushing. So many people I know are depressed or anxious all the time. And we have this acquisitive lifestyle, and the real question becomes, is it making us happy? And what we found during our No Impact year is that when we kind of put down the consumerism and stopped using so many environmental resources, the result was that we got to do things like spend more time together as a family, spend more time with friends, get exercise as part of our daily routine, eat better food. And so it actually was better for us as well as better for the environment.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, New Yorker writer Elizabeth Colbert wrote a pretty scathing criticism of you, and she used words like stunt and gimmick and shtick. She goes on to describe you as, quote, a man whose environmental activism began over lunch with his agent.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to her?
You know, Betty Colbert is an environmental writer and as such part of, you know, the environmental movement. And there's a stark division in the environmental movement. Some people say that the only thing that can possibly work is collective action. And some people say the only thing that will work is individual action, people changing themselves. And so sometimes when people are pro-collective action, the idea of us changing just as individuals is threatening. It's a bit of an argument within the environmental movement. The fact of the matter is, of course, if we're really going to do the job we need to do to avoid global warming being a catastrophe, we both need to change the systems through collective action and change the way we live through individual action.
And your response to Elizabeth Colbert's New Yorker Review is on the Huffington Post, entitled "A Stunt or Not a Stunt, That is Not the Question."
And the reason why I say it's not the question is because it's so unimportant in the cultural discourse whether me and No Impact Man are a stunt or not. And what we really need to be talking about is how do we deal with the fact that global warming is going to affect the planet's ability to support the human species. And what do we do about that? And how do we do it in such a way that we basically, how do we live happy lives without it costing the planet?
How stressful was this experience for your family? We're going to replay a clip we aired earlier in promoting this segment, because not only were your wife and daughter sort of dragged along with you, if that's a fair characterization, but they had to do it with a film crew following you all around. And here is a short clip from the film. This is also in the trailer of your wife, Michelle, talking about you, No Impact Man.
It's No Impact Man. It's his book and it's his project, and he's No Impact Man. But the project is our family is doing this.
That's pretty tough stuff to come in this loving, glowing documentary.
You know, it's interesting because in a lot of ways it's the story of our family and what our family goes through too. And at the beginning, Michelle was very skeptical about things, and rightfully so, because she didn't know what she was getting herself into. As a matter of fact, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I didn't realize what lengths a person would have to go to actually make No Impact. But what happens is, you know, you see that early in the film, and then later in the film what you see is actually Michelle having a change of heart, because there are things happening to us as a family where, you know, you mentioned the losing weight, but also we're spending more time with our family and friends and getting something. You know, some people say, oh, during No Impact you deprived yourself, but I would argue that in certain ways that the modern lifestyle itself deprives us of certain subtle joys that we get when we move away from consuming so much.
And now it does sound like your wife has become a full convert, if there was any skepticism that we heard in that clip from back, what, 2 years ago now when
right.
that was recorded?
Right.
So writing about her experience in a recent article in Business Week, where she works as an editor, she says, quote, "What I realized was that so many of my rituals were so bad for me, my health, for us, our bank account, and all the family time lost to my scurrying off to shop and for the environment. What I learned from No Impact was that there is a steep cost to supporting all your stuff. In my days of high consumption, I'd been searching for something. It turned out that it was right in my own home." Sounds like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you should see her railing on about when there's altercations between cars and bicyclists, because now she's this adamant biker and she gets around everywhere by bike. Well, one thing I should mention, by the way, in terms of...
You're
like,
either going to get divorced or you're going to come out like tighter than ever, right?
that's what's so... You know, we kind of... In some ways, we unraveled the societal rules about how to live together, and then that caused stress between us because you have to decide how are you going to live together. But at the same time, what you're doing is you're, as a couple, actually making really conscious decisions together, and so that pulls you together as well. You actually, you know, you're actually examining your life together. So that's a good thing.
So if the book is called No Impact Man, The Adventures of a Guilty Liberal Who Attempts to Save the Planet and the Discoveries He Makes About Himself and Our Way of Life in the Process, were you able to abate your guilty liberal conscience?
Well, you know, it's so funny because one of the clips in the film where I'm talking to you is you say to me, what's the No Impact Project all about? And one of the things that I say is, and I hold this too, is that as a liberal, I was so used to the idea of like trying to get the government to get everybody else to change, and not so used to the idea of actually looking at my side of the street. And I now realize it creates an incredible power where if you live your values both in your own life as an individual and in your political stance, then it's all the more powerful.
What about I know people are thinking this now after hearing the exchange, the clip of your wife. Why was it No Impact Man and not No Impact Man and Woman, or Man, Woman, and Baby?
Well, which do you think is catchier?
Uh-huh. It's all about that. Huh?
No, well, to be fair, I mean, when it started, we didn't realize the extent of involvement that the family was actually going to have. So, you know, you kind of start, you come up with a title. Also, there was a blog that I was writing, and it was me writing it. And we kind of thought like Michelle and Isabella would mildly be involved in Colin's little thing. And then, so it was No Impact Man. But then they kind of got more and more pulled into it as we went along.
And at the end of the year, what are some of the things that you found you had shed permanently, and what are some of the things that you actually went back to, even though they made an impact on the environment?
So, to me, the real what's really wasteful is when we're using resources that don't even make us happier, right? So for example, what we continue to do is, because it saves us $1,200 a year, we no longer use the air conditioner. We gave the air conditioners away. Because it fits exercise and cardio right into our life, we continue to transport ourselves using bicycle. Because eating food that is locally produced and fresh and without chemicals is better for us, we continue to eat locally. But by the way, one of the things that I'd like to mention, Brian, is that we started a little nonprofit where people can, through the programs of the nonprofit, can discover for themselves ways of living that are both happier for them and better for the environment.
And it's called No Impact Project, right?
That's right. And it's at noimpactproject.org.
And so this is the kind of do-it-yourself No Impact Man home game?
Yes, you can be No Impact Man too. But you asked also, you know, what we took back. There's some resources that are totally worth using. So, for example, the one thing, for a while there, I was washing our clothes by hand and it was miserable. So what we need to do as a culture is we need to say, you know, what resources are worth using, and then how can we change the system so that those resources are provided sustainably? So, you know, yes, we need laundry machines. We need certain conveniences. So what we need to do is find a way to get the culture to change so that we're making that electricity without burning coal, basically.
Now, I see you're going to be doing a reading from the book at the Barnes & Noble in Tribeca on Thursday, that's September 10th at 7 p.m. That's 97 Warren Street. And how about the movie? The movie actually opens this Friday, doesn't it?
The movie opens Friday at the Angelica here in New York.
Just the Angelica for the moment?
Just for now, and then I believe it's going to be rolling out to other theaters in the coming weeks.
How wide distribution do you think you're going to have? Is it just going to be a New York area thing, or are you going to be seen around the country?
We have, I believe we're opening in something like 50 cities month. Yeah, and so people can really help, because if they turn out in the bookstore on Thursday and turn out at the cinema on Friday, then it will help us to keep the movie open.
I hope the movie gets really wide distribution so that that scene from this radio show with you in it will be seen all over the world, and people will listen to us on satellite radio and everything. Let's see. We have 30 seconds left. I'm curious about the way people are using your No Impact Project. If you have any feedback yet, what's the first thing that people are actually finding that they can change about their lifestyles, or what's the most common question you get?
Well, people always say, well, what can I do in my life that will change the most? And actually, probably the biggest and easiest thing we can do is eat way less beef, because it turns out that cows emit a lot of methane, and we deforest in order to grow cows. So eating less beef is really important.
All right. The movie opens Friday. The book is called No Impact Man, The Adventures of a Guilty Liberal Who Attempts to Save the Planet and the Discoveries He Makes About Himself and Our Way of Life in the Process. The next book will have a shorter title. Colin, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Kate Hines produced this program. We had intern help today from Neil Makija, Tala Al-Husri, and Mary Beth Holman. And our senior producer is Megan Ryan. Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.